Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Last Christian. This is our Bible study show, and you're probably asking yourself, why is this one on a Tuesday and not on a Thursday? Funny you should ask, because we have an awesome show for you coming up on the next one. So we just kind of switched them around, and you're just going to have to tune into that one. That was actually going to be one of the J-Sticks hostages who has a very interesting story to tell. So you're not going to want to miss that. He's definitely a man of God, pastor, and you're going to want to tune in for the show. Right, J.D.?
Absolutely, Mr. David. It is a good show, and I hope you guys will tune into it on Thursday, and then we're going to do a special with him later on, which was only going to be available to those of you that go to the lastchristian.net website. So if you haven't done that yet, I suggest you bookmark it, because when this show plays, you're going to really want to see that. But Thursday is going to be the first edition that we're just putting out there for everybody, but the special coming up later is going to be just for people that go to the site. With that, David, it's your show. This is the weekly comprehensive Bible study.
Yeah, this is going to be a blast. So, in retrospect, I wanted to move on to the next chapter in Genesis. So we're up to chapter 5.
Wow. We're making progress.
Wow. Yeah, we are rolling right along. Yeah. We'll be done with the whole Bible in 20 years or so. It's going to be easy. Yeah. Be no time. Uh-huh. We're but a vapor here, right?
Right.
But specifically, I wanted to look at today the book of the generations of Adam, because that's exactly what it says in Genesis 5:1. Mm-hmm. And so, in true to form, God tells the story of creation. He's got the big picture. This happened, this happened, this happened. Mm-hmm. Then he backs it up a little bit. Okay, and then he explains it. Okay, and then he said the seeds, and then, the plants, and then this came. And then he backs it up a little bit. Now, in this picture here.
Wait.
What? You're backing it up?
No, I'm stopping you just long enough to do this. Father, we ask that you please bless this show. Give David the inspiration to bring your word to everyone that's listening, and hopefully to reach that one individual that we're waiting for, that last Christian before the rapture of the church. Father, we praise your name for giving us this opportunity to bring the gospel to the world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Without that, David, it wouldn't work. Go ahead.
Yeah, it wouldn't work. I know. I was kind of going there. I forgot. All right. So, it says, in the day that God created man, in the likeness of God, made he him. All right. So this speaks back to, we were made in his image and after his likeness. Mm-hmm. And also says now, he has become like us. Mm-hmm. And knowing good and evil. So we're definitely in that realm of God, not creator God, but in what he did that. So that's not to mean that we are gods, but we're like him. Mm-hmm. And we look like him and we act like him. That's really what that means. Whereas some religions will take that and say, we became gods. Like the Mormons will say, you get your own planet and there you go. You can be the Jesus of that planet and have millions of people and tons of wives and all that stuff. It's basically Islam Americanized. So that's about the likeness. But specifically today, I wanted to talk about from Adam to Noah.
Okay.
And why is that? Because technically, it's the creation unto the judgment. So, again, it's a microcosm, and everything's pattern, right? Mm-hmm. There's the little pattern, the medium pattern, the big pattern. So we're going to see that from Adam to Noah and then to the flood. Okay. So I have a trivia question for you today.
Okay.
In what year of Anno Mundi, which means the year of the earth, did the flood occur?
Let me see. You would have to do what? You would have to take.
Well, it's all in this chapter. I mean, it's pretty easy. You just add everything up.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You would have to take all these names and all that and add them all together. And if you do that, and especially if somebody tells you about it in advance, you can tell them that it's 1656.
That is correct. When you add them all up, their birth dates from one to the next, 1656. And just interesting tidbits along the way. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's 1656. But do you remember this dude named Abraham?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Abraham.
Mm-hmm. You know, he was born in 1948 of Anno Mundi.
Okay, 1948, as in, I mean, we're talking about the real 1948, right?
And not 1948. From the day of creation.
Yeah, after 1948 days of creation. Years. Right, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha. Years. I'm with
so
you.
So it's 1948, if you just add it all up. And,
okay.
And the funny part is Israel on our calendar was born in 1948.
That's crazy, isn't it? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And no then I believe he was coincidence.
Yeah. He was 52 when he was called out, which makes when he actually started his journey to the new land, it was 2000 Anno Mundi. And so there's 2000, now we're 2000 years from Christ,
right?
The crucifixion, right?
Uh-huh.
So the crucifixion of Christ was in 33. Right, and here we are, snug right up to that. Mm-hmm. We're getting pretty close to 2,000 years from his crucifixion. So there's significance in all of that. And, of course, you know, the calendar has been a little messed up because of the shaking of the earth since then. So the timing might be a little off because we're not 360 days like it was originally. Then it was 364 because it was ketubahs between each one. Now we're at 365 and a quarter, thereabouts. So yeah, a little bit there, but trust me, his timing is to the second on all this stuff. So we're gonna see it, but as far as us figuring out the exact day, no, we're gonna get close though,
right?
Yeah. Yeah, like, you know, the return of Christ is any minute now.
All right.
But again, that's not what we're talking about today either. We're going to talk about, from Adam, how old was he and who was the next son that he had, and how did that work its way all the way down to Noah? And you're going to find something quite surprising in here.
Okay.
All right. So it talks about here, bless him and called their name Adam. Most people don't realize it. Adam and Eve were actually both called Adam.
Oh, yeah. I didn't realize that. Okay.
Okay. Yep. Because Adam was a complete being at that time, and he literally took the rib out of Adam.
Right.
And then he's like, okay, you're going to be called Eve because you're the mother of all living. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So now we see Adam and Eve, we see them as two different people, but they were one. So when we see that microcosm, okay, yeah, the two shall become one flesh. He's bringing us back together. Mm-hmm. So that is saying the man wants the best part of him back. Hey, I need my rib back. Could you come in here, please?
Right.
So it becomes one. But what does that say about that picture of us in the marriage with him? You know? Mm. So he basically made us in his image and after his likeness. He took us out of him, made us. Now he wants us back in that same way.
Right.
Because Adam and Eve are a microcosm of his love for us.
Right.
It's really wild when you think about it like that. But that's what he said. You know? And it's, Jesus is our bridegroom, and he's coming to get his bride back. So we'll literally be one with him again. That's just amazing to me.
It is.
So Adam and Eve, all right, they had Cain and Abel, right? We all know that story. We talked about that. But then Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness. So now we have B'nai HaAdam instead of B'nai HaElohim. And it was after, in his own likeness and after his image, and called his name Seth. Remember Seth?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Okay.
First one. Okay.
Because she had appointed me a son. We're going to go over their names in a bit. But then Seth was, he lived another 800 years and begat sons and daughters and all that. Seth lived 105 years and begat Enos, not Enoch, Enos.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And Enos lived 90 years and begat Canaan. That's in verse 9. Mm-hmm. And Canaan lived 70 years and begot Mahalalel. Try and say that one fast.
No, I'll pass on that one.
Yeah, he's got the best name, though. And then Mahalalel lived 65 years and begat Jared. Remember Jared, the Subway guy?
Yes. Yeah, I do.
He was in prison. Lost all that weight from eating the Subway. Mm-hmm. But then they found out he was, anyway.
Yeah.
He belonged to the Diddy Party.
Yeah.
So Mahalalel, after Jared's like, dude, what do you do that with my name for? You know, the real Jared here. Mm-hmm. And then Jared lived 162 years and begat Enoch, you know, mm-hmm. and then Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. Mm-hmm. Okay. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah for 300 years. Mm-hmm. He begat sons and daughters, and days of Enoch were 365. Mm-hmm. Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. Mm-hmm. So Methuselah lived 187 years and begat Lamech. Mm-hmm. And then he lived, as we know, 969 years. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, there's a couple of reasons for that, too, which we're going to get into. And then Lamech lived 182 years and begat a son called his name Noah. Mm-hmm. And this same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord has cursed. Okay. And then Lamech lived another 595 years, begat sons and daughters. Noah was 500 years old and begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Not necessarily in that order. Mm-hmm. And they weren't triplets. It came to pass, but there was a reason for that there too. So the first one was born at that 500 years.
Okay.
So here we have this genealogy from Adam to Noah, which, mm-hmm. and then his 600 year was the flood came, right? Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. So there's that. So let's re-examine all these things. Let's bring them right out into the public. So the word Adam is derived from Adama, meaning ground or earth, because Adam was taken from the earth, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So mankind, or what we would call a human, although in Babylonian language you don't want to be called a human, but for our purpose here it's called a human, right? And then Seth, if you remember, she named him Seth because what? Remember that part? Cain killed Abel, and then she's like, oh, let's have another one. And Eve was appointed another child.
Okay.
So they called him Seth because that means appointed.
Okay.
Or placed. Okay. You know, like here. So Eve named Seth, saying, God has appointed for me another offspring instead of Abel. Genesis 4:25.
Okay.
Then we have Enosh, it means mortal.
Okay. Enosh is not different man like from Adam. Enoch. I just want to clarify here. Enosh is not Enoch. There's two different people.
Right. Now it's funny because Cain had a son named Enoch,
mm-hmm.
but not the same one. You see parallel lines here, and I think mm-hmm. we talked about that last time. It's Cain had a bunch of kids, and there's a lot of similar ones in there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but then again, that was the false line, and then the true line of the Messiah was going to come down through Seth, who was appointed.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have Kenan or Canaan, which means possession or sorrow.
Okay.
And then we have Mahalalel, or praised of God or blessed God, and combines halal and el. That's why you have those words, Mahalalel. And then we have Jared or Yared in the Hebrew, and that means to descent or to come down.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So it's the coming down. And the reason he was called that, there was a couple reasons, and we're going to see one of them in a minute. But it was in the days of Jared that the fallen watchers came down to earth and did their nasties with the women.
Yeah,
and we'll see that in the next chapter.
Genesis 6, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But in the days of Jared, that's when those angels fell.
Mm.
Okay.
Okay.
And that's when they came down and stole the women, and that's when you see all the chaos and mayhem coming out. And then Enoch actually spoke with them and talked with them, and he saw the visions of what was going to happen and the judgment that was to come. And even Jubilees talks about Enoch and how he's going to tell everything up until the end of the age. So until the final day of judgment. And he talks about that. And I think it was Adam somewhere. I saw it in one of the writings. He says, I know there's going to be a judgment by a flood and a fire, but I don't know which one comes first. Now, Enoch starts to parse all of that out. So when Jared and Enoch are there and they start to talk about these things, they recognize that, okay, the judgment will come and it's going to come soon. And he named his son Methuselah. Mm-hmm. Okay, which means his death shall bring. Mm-hmm. Now imagine being that's your name. When I die, the judgment comes. That's your name.
Yeah. Oh man!
So don't kill me. You're going to be judged.
I wonder if everybody caught that. I don't know how that worked out, but you know.
Yeah, and I don't know. He must have got the best medical care because Methuselah was the oldest guy ever recorded. Living.
Yeah.
All right. It's like, let's keep them alive as long as we can.
Yeah. I was going to say that had to be their mission if they've truly believed it. And at this point in world history, I'm pretty sure they did. And, you know, yeah, we got to prop this guy up forever.
Yeah. It's a possibility. But also, I think it speaks to, since he is the oldest recorded living man, at least, it's possible some lived older, I guess. But here's the deal. In the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. Mm-hmm. And we'll notice all these people had lived till like 900 years and change, with the exception of one or two. But for the most part, none of them made it to 1,000.
Right. Yeah.
Because they would have to die within that day, and that day would be that 1,000 years.
Right.
And, you know, before you call me loopy, this is what all the early church fathers taught, and this is what they knew back then, because they know a lot more than we know right now.
Yeah, and if you look in the Bible, find me somebody that's over that age. You're not going to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's no record of that. Mm-hmm. And that speaks to this, because his death shall bring. Now, it was appointed to him that when he dies, the judgment will come. So it's speaking to God's mercy. He's long-suffering. He says, here's the oldest guy. We're going to use him to demonstrate I'm really going to wait a long time and give you the opportunity to repent before I bring the judgment.
Mm-hmm. Sound familiar?
But no one can ever say, you know, or have an excuse, you didn't give me enough time. Mm-hmm. Well, he's literally the oldest man who's ever lived, recorded in the Bible.
Right.
So the reason Lamech didn't make 900 years is because the flood came, you know, when he was like 700 and change. Mm-hmm. So there's that. And he's like, for some reason, Lamech didn't make it onto the ark either. Was he not saved? I mean, if Noah's genealogy was pure, then Lamech's must have been pure, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it doesn't sound like he was included.
I mean, yeah, so maybe his heart wasn't? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if you read, it gets some weird stuff. I mean, later on in the book of Enoch, into the book of Noah, it talks about how Noah was an albino, and they thought he was one of the Watcher's kids.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, that's crazy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah, that's a little suspect to me, but there it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'll examine that further in the future. But Lamech means despairing, okay? Mm-hmm. And then Noah means rest or comfort.
Okay,
so we see these, and there's 10 of them, right? So from Adam to Noah, there's 10. Well, why is there 10?
I don't know.
10 of everything. There's always 10, right? There's 10 kings. Like it, there's 10 of it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it speaks to biblical symbolism. So we got completeness and divine order, basically.
Okay. Yeah.
The 10 commandments, the 10 plagues of Egypt, the 10 virgins in the parable. So it's 10 symbolizes completeness in divine order.
Okay, I thought it was 7 was the
well, 7 perfection. Is the perfection.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
10 is a completion.
Okay. Okay.
12 is government.
Yeah, I'm trying to balance this out before I get a good
understanding. It's in the Hebrew, it's you can get the differences. In English, okay. We got too many synonyms.
Okay.
But the completeness and divine order are a little bit different than the perfect. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So it's also a fulfillment of God's plan from creation to renewal. From sin to redemption.
Could it be because of God, I don't even know how to phrase this, God's perfection, 7 years, the work of God, and then 10 for the work of people? Do you get what I'm saying here? Because I don't even know how to form the question,
And then it also depends on where it's used. I mean, we could go way down some rabbit holes with that.
Okay.
But that's when, even when you see 70. Why 70? Because it's 7 times 10.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So it's a completeness in his perfection.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Gotcha. Okay.
Wild stuff. So the fulfillment of God's plan, like I said, symbolizing the test of humanity.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so we got Abraham to David. Mm-hmm. How many? Right? The flood as a reset. So 10 generations signify the completion of an era. Mm-hmm. And then as a marker of fulfillment. So there's so many things that are wrapped up within, why is there 10 of them here? Mm-hmm. But I even have a better question for you. So who was the oldest man that ever lived and he died before his father?
Well, I know the oldest man that ever lived was Methuselah, but the died before his father thing. Wait a minute.
Well, I'll give you a little bit of a clue. Who was his father?
Who was his father?
Look at your list.
I'm looking. Enoch. Okay. I gotcha. Okay. I bet you a bunch of people out there don't, though. But Enoch didn't die.
That's right. At 365, God took him.
Yeah.
You know, he was raptured.
Okay. Yeah. You had me there for a second, David. You know, people, you know.
Just they a don't, second. That's all.
Okay.
It's a good one. It goes. That's right up there with how many kids did Abraham have.
Yeah,
okay. You know? Yeah, he had 8 that we know of.
Uh-huh.
So here's something cool.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Enoch, he was taken up, and he didn't see death.
Right.
And then his book, he writes about the end of the age, and he sees all these wild things.
Mm-hmm.
And he actually had interactions with these fallen watchers. But he knew that judgment was coming, which is why he named his son Methuselah, which means his death shall bring.
Mm-hmm.
So in basically the Hebrew mindset is when he dies, that's when the flood comes.
And that makes sense.
And if you go back to the 1656 that we talked about, and you realize that Methuselah was 969, you work out all those numbers, that's the exact year that the flood came. And then they would mourn for 7 days, which is why God closed the door and they sat there for 7 days because they were mourning Methuselah.
Okay. I always wondered how.
Right. So when you start to, you put this picture together, you start to see all these things and how. And then people say, the Bible's full of fairy tales. Yeah, it's all contrived, right? Yeah, sure.
That's the reason they can't find error in it. Yeah.
They just it's contrived errors is what it is.
Mm.
Okay. Now, what's really cool is something that I don't know if I want to talk about this in the second half, but this makes a sentence.
Okay.
When you go from Adam to Seth to Enosh to Kenan to Mahalalel to Jared to Enoch to Methuselah to Lamech to Noah, It makes a sentence when you read it in the Hebrew. The reason we don't have this in the English is because they don't translate it. They just give the names transliterated. Hey, this is what it sounds like, Adam. Okay, but it means man. So let's put this in a sentence.
Okay.
And it says, man is appointed mortal sorrow, but the blessed God shall come down teaching that his death shall bring the despairing rest.
I just followed you on that, and it's perfect. Right on. I mean, that's, yeah, verbatim.
Yeah.
That's right.
So he made a sentence in here. So if you're going to tell me that these Jewish sages somehow named all these people and contrived it of the Christian gospel that wouldn't happen until thousands of years later.
Oh, man.
We got to talk. I have a bridge I could sell you over here in Brooklyn.
Right?
If you believe it was contrived, contact me, sell you a bridge.
How many different ways did God put things there for people to find that just prove him over and over and over and over again? It's impossible to do what he did, but he did it because he's God.
Yeah. And there it is. So God himself will come down and bring comfort to the despairing. That's just amazing to me how he put that all in there. Mm-hmm. And that all goes with the blood contract, folks. I mean, here we are. We talk about the contract that Jesus made in his own blood. And here's a sentence right in the beginning of the book that talks about it in the names of the lineage of the genealogy right up to the judgment day of Noah's time. Mm-hmm. He talks about that, and he says, this is what I'm going to do. He says it in the stars. He says it in the words. He says it in the very names that he has. He says it in the equidistant letter spacing of the word, and he just lays everything out. And that's because he loves you, okay? He shed his blood, wrote out a contract with it, says, I will pay for your sins because I want you back as my bride. I want you to come back and be part of me again. So I would encourage you to do that today. Accept his contract. Repent of your sins. Rescind your signature off that old contract. Take his new contract. And say, I want to live with you for all eternity. So we're going to get deeper into this in the second half. And Lord willing, we'll see you guys then. Bye-bye.
Are you weighed down by life's issues and challenges? Do you need rest from the day-to-day grind? Then the Word of God broadcast is your listening station. The Word of God broadcast is a Christ-centered ministry, sharing God's marvelous Word. Here you will find you rest from the things of the world. Join us each Saturday at 7 p.m. Eastern or 6 p.m. Central Time on Revelation Radio Broadcast. The Word of God broadcast plants the seeds, and the Holy Spirit adds the essential nutrients to ensure every soul's growth for the harvest of Jesus' soon return. If you want to learn more about God's Word, eternal life, and His Son, Jesus Christ, join us each Saturday at 7 p.m. Eastern or 6 p.m. Central Time on KRRB Revelation Radio.
Ready to start your day on a new level? Meet Everyday Dose, the coffee alternative that's more than just a caffeine fix. Check out more and grab your first dose at everydaydose.com/hiddenday. Why it's different. Everyday Dose combines premium coffee with brain-boosting ingredients like mushrooms and collagen, giving you focus, energy, and mental clarity without the jitters or crashes. It's the clean energy your body craves. Check out these benefits you'll love. Say goodbye to coffee crashes. Boost your mental clarity and focus. Support your immune system and overall wellness. Feel energized naturally without the anxiety or jitters. Perfect for busy professionals, health enthusiasts, or anyone ready to upgrade their daily routine. Again, that's everydaydose.com/hiddenday.
KRRB Grand Saline, Canton, Mineola, Texas.
Are you ready to deepen your walk with Jesus? Join Norman Smith on Run with Horses, the weekly radio show dedicated to helping you follow Jesus well. In Jeremiah 12:5, God challenges us to pick up the pace and prepare to run with horses. Jesus calls us to take up our cross and follow him. The journey is tough, but always worth it. Tune in every Saturday evening at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, 6:30 p.m. Central on revelationradio.net for an all-new edition of Run with Horses. Explore topics like biblical discipleship, healthy marriage, and building a godly family. Don't miss Run with Horses every Saturday evening at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, 6:30 p.m. Central, right here on KRRB, revelationradio.net. For more information or to listen to past broadcasts, be sure to visit runwithhorses.net.
Okay, we made it back, it seems. So hopefully you guys are alive and well, and if you haven't received the Lord and his contract, you have by now, and we're just going to like keep on rolling along.
Amen.
So as we know, JD, that every last thing, down to the minute detail in the Bible, is important.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So I started thinking, okay, why does he give the exact age of all of these people? Well yeah. True to, you know.
Okay. Go ahead.
Well, you got ideas why?
Well, I was just going by the numbers that we went through in the first half, that he was giving people the opportunity to repent, you know, mm-hmm. or what, you know, before he flooded the earth. And when you add it all together, well, you get this date, and, you know, I mean, that's the best explanation I got.
Doing it for a reason, okay. You know, and yet God does everything for a reason, you know, okay. Even from like Ruth was a Moabite, right? Mm. And, you know, the Moabites weren't allowed, you know, into the kingdom. And until like, and then a bastard child was like 10 generations. Mm-hmm. And that comes down from Rahab the harlot. Mm-hmm. So King David was an offspring of Rahab the harlot, okay, from mm-hmm. Jericho, which is not a Jew. Of Ruth, who was a Moabite. Remember the Moabites, right? Mm-hmm. Remember the Moabites?
I do. I don't know all the history and all that kind of good stuff, but yeah.
All right. Mm-hmm. Well, you have, like in computer language, you got kilobytes, mm-hmm. right? And then you got megabytes, mm-hmm. and you got gigabytes, and then you got terabytes, mm-hmm. okay? And then you have moabytes. So you know how much a moabyte is?
Mm, I don't know.
It's a lot.
Yeah, it's got to be a lot.
It's a lot because the moabytes were the sons of Lot. You get it?
Oh, Lord.
A lot.
Okay, I get it. All right, go ahead.
Yeah. So, here's Lot. He comes out of, you know, he's pulled out. He's literally yanked out. So it's another picture of the rapture, mm-hmm. just like Enoch. Enoch was raptured out before the destruction, and mm-hmm. then Noah is a picture of Israel being protected through the destruction. It's going to be the same thing again. One mm-hmm. was taken out, the body of Christ. One's mm-hmm. protected through.
Right.
Two different people.
Yeah.
All right. We got another picture of the rapture in Enoch. In Lot. Mm. So now Lot, they said, we can't destroy the city until you're out. Right. Literally, he was holding them off. Mm-hmm. So at the very last second, the angel had to grab him by the hand. And that's what you see. They grabbed him. And the next thing you know, he's in the field.
Yeah. Now, that is always interested me because there's absolutely no discussion about going through, seeing anybody on their way out, waving goodbye, nothing. I mean, it's like you're here 1 second and you're there the next.
That's right. And then his wife turned around and said, why'd you take me out?
Boom.
Salt. You're done. But here they are. His two daughters just witnessed the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding cities, except for Or whatever it was, that didn't, because you know, Lot's like, hey, can I go over there? And that was the only one that wasn't destroyed because he was allowed to go over there into this city. Now, his daughters are looking all over the place saying, oh, my goodness, the entire world was just destroyed. we better have babies, and our father's the only male around. So they each one of the daughters said, okay, let's get them drunk. And then they had a baby each, Amorites and Moabites.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So they were considered, you know, bastards in a way, like something, I forget what they call it, but it's not a bastard. Bastard's no father. But now Ruth is a Moabitess. We got Rahab the harlot. And these were all the progenitors of the King David, whose offspring will be the Messiah. Okay? So they were literally the great-great-grandmothers of our king.
Yeah. Right.
You know, which is wild. You know, but it's 10 generations from a bastard child, and David was that final generation. Now he can be king.
Okay.
So we start to see all these different things that are tied in with the Bible. And then, you know, the daughters of Mahathathalel, remember him? He only had daughters. And so sons-in-law inherited it. Mm-hmm. So that was that. That was that work around there. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking to myself, okay, he put the age in there. Why did he do that? So I started to look at those. And if you wanted to get into, I don't say numerology, because way too many people like, oh, numerology. That means today is the 25th of November. So that means this and this and this. And this. Yeah. No. Okay. It's specific when you got Bible prophecy and there's a thing there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. But it doesn't, it's not for you to go off these endless genealogies that the Bible says.
Right.
You're going off on these tangents. Yeah, there's stuff to it, but stop being ridiculous.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But when he says Adam was 130 years old, what does that mean? Well, you could literally break it down. One is unity, okay? And then the three is divine completeness, right?
Okay.
And then you have 10, the zero. And amplifies the meaning of the other. So it's divine completeness, perfection in unity. He's speaking, Adam was the divine unity of the Trinity.
Mm-hmm.
So the Trinity, you're three in one, and it's complete.
Yeah.
And Adam, at 130 years old, he had Seth. And then Seth was 105. So we start, what was the first one again? One was unity, right? Our God is one God.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking at this list here. Okay, I got Adam.
Okay.
Adam is.
Yeah. Well, one's always the thing.
Okay. One is.
And then you have zero. Yeah. Oh, you want to read it? Then you read it.
No. I'm trying to keep up with you here. We got Adam. Adam is man or human. Okay, and that's.
Oh wait. You know what? I didn't send you. I didn't send you my numbers.
Yeah.
That's why.
I don't have that. Okay.
All right, never mind. Don't read it.
Okay. you got me again.
I'll read them for you. Okay. You know me. I keep studying. Here's 8,000 pages. Oh, but wait, there's more. I'm sorry. It's the way my brain works.
That's okay.
If I could put more stuff in it, I'll keep shoving it in.
That's okay.
It's like breakfast. If I can eat more. I
can follow you without the notes, you know, but I'm just trying.
Oh, yeah, put the notes away. We're done with those notes. Okay. All right, so Seth was 105. 105. One, unity with God. Again, we got the zero. Now it's 10. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then we have grace, or God's goodness is number five. We all know five is a number of grace. Okay. So Seth was 105. The grace, was Seth was born. Mm-hmm. So he's 103. Then we have 90 years. Well, nine is completeness or finality associated with judgment or fruitfulness. Okay.
Okay.
And then again, the 10 is multiplied. So now we have 90. Mm-hmm. Suggests an era marked by human mortality. Okay. Balanced by the complete plan for humanity's redemption. Mm-hmm. So that's Enosh. Then we have Kenan was 70, right? And we all know seven, spiritual perfection, completion, and that's Kenan. Right. And it means his name means, you know, lament or possess or sorrow. Okay. But God's perfection and completeness and rest, and 70 there. So that ties in. And we, like I said, we can go off tons of rabbit holes with this, but we'll never get finished. So I just want to hit the numbers. 65. Six is, humanity or imperfection. It's not quite seven.
Okay.
And then grace is number five. So we got 65 there. So Mahalalel's age represents grace extended to humanity. Okay. So the grace, number five, is extended to humanity. Humanity, grace. Jared was 162. Okay. Again, we got the one is unity. The six is humanity, perfection. And then two is what? When he sends them out two by two as what?
I don't understand the question. Two by two would go to
if we send out two what?
Witnesses to disciples.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. Two is witness. So we have Jared's age symbolizes a testimony, humanity's state of descent, and the coming hope through Enoch who walked with God. Mm-hmm. So Enoch was born to him next. He's 162. Mm-hmm. Unity, humanity, or our frailty, basically, and then a witness. So it's just interesting how each one of them has a meaning.
Yeah. And that's crazy. But, numbers and everything. And then, it's crazy how it all adds up. It's remarkable.
Yep.
Not crazy. It's remarkable.
And then we have Enoch, who was 65 again. He started to walk with God. Mm-hmm. And then he had Methuselah. Mm-hmm. So he had him at the same time. He started to walk with God, and then he named his kid Methuselah. Mm-hmm. Same as Mahalalel's age, humanity and grace. Because his whole book speaks about the humanity and how they were, fallen, and it's because of the watchers, but God still has grace. Then Methuselah was 187 when Lamech was born. One is unity, eight is new beginnings, and then seven is a completion or spiritual perfection. So it suggests a transition towards a new era. Okay, so unity, new beginning, and then that's perfect in the new beginning, the spiritual perfection. So that's interesting. Lamech was 182 when Noah was born. Imagine being 182 and having a kid.
I can't. I just can't. But, we don't have the kind of lifespan that they had either. So,
Yeah.
So for them, like, it wasn't any big deal. For us, it would be like impossible. But,
It's just wild. So,
does it have something to do with the DNA, by chance? DNA's coming to a conclusion. We've discussed that a few times. Did that have a direct impact on that?
Yeah, it was 100%. Because it was, you've got to remember how wonderful it was before the fall, and then it was still kind of wonderful that they were able to live 1,000 years almost during the flood. But because our DNA was still pretty strong back then, God said, I have to dumb this place down. I guess it's a similar thought as like chemotherapy. They give you just enough radiation to kill the cancer, but not your good cells. That's the idea behind it anyway, although I don't agree with that. But that's kind of the idea. God kind of says, okay, we're going to bring it to a point where you could just survive and I can get the Messiah here. But it won't be strong enough for these watchers to come and take over again. So it's kind of in his mercy he dumbed down our DNA so they wouldn't be able to take over, because then all bets are off at that point. And then we're done. So to make us weak for a little while in order to save us, it was really the goal.
Yeah. It had nothing to do with the birthday cake, right?
No.
Because I can only imagine 600 candles on a birthday cake. That's what I was going to ask.
It's like just a torch. You'd have to flaming. I think the worst part is like Methuselah's wife vividly remembers the argument they had 749 years ago.
You'll never forget that.
Remember that day?
Oy, he said. I'm sorry.
Can I ever get out of this?
I just had to add a little bit of levity to this situation here.
And Matthew's like, hey, I wish my death would bring. Unbelievable. Can I go home now? No. Me, Noah? No. So, and then Lamech was 182 when Noah was born. One, unity, eight, new beginnings, and two, witness. So here's, he's going to witness the new beginning, Noah. And then 500. They specifically said he was, Noah was 500 when he had Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now, according to Jubilees, they weren't all, they weren't triplets. Some people say, oh, they must have been triplets born at the same time. No, that's when he started to have them at 500, but he specifically said 500 for the reason, because it's grace times 10 times 10.
Now, do we know the exact number of children that he had? Because my, you know, my opinion is no, but we don't. We don't know how, exactly how many kids Noah had. I mean, we know the ones that were in the Bible, but we don't know about all of them, right?
Well, we don't know any of them, really. I mean, other writings say Adam had upwards of 50 children.
Okay, which would make sense with that lifespan.
Yeah, you can live that long. Even one, you know, every 5 years, that'd only be 100 years. Is that, did I say that right? So the Noah's age at fatherhood symbolizes the magnitudes of God's grace in saving humanity. So that's why we said the flood was actually his grace and his mercy in dumbing us down and getting rid of the evil, washing that out. So we have patterns over and over of grace and completeness, and the numbers of, you know, multiplied by 10 all the time, and the transition points like 130, 187, and 500 are pivotal moments in the lineage, and that's when the shifts came in, right? So 130, the shift came in with Adam at 130, but then we have where is it, 187, Methuselah, when Methuselah was 187 when Lamech was born. That was pivotal. I think also pivotal should be Jared, you know, because that's when the Watchers came down. So it was at least a pivotal time. All right, now that I'm really tired from reading all that.
I'm looking.
You got to have questions about that.
Well, what I'm going to do instead, David, is I'm going to put some Bible scripture up here to where people can kind of get an idea of what we're talking about.
Okay.
So there's the family of Adam in Genesis 5, 1 through 5. And, you know, it just kind of goes through there. And it talks about Seth there. After he begot Seth, the days of Adam were 800 years, and he had sons and daughters. This is the part what I was talking about, where we don't really know how many, because it just says sons and daughters, right? So, you know, that's kind of where that is. And then moving on here to 6 through 14, again, Genesis chapter 5, you've got Seth, you got Enosh, you got Canaan. I'm sure I mispronounced that, but next one here, you got you say it. He lived 65 years, and there's Jared popping up there. Okay, and then you see this guy, he lived to be 895 years old. Jared 62. I wonder why Jared was cut off of 62. You got some info on that? And
well, I think he was cut off. That was just when he had the kid.
Okay.
So it was a little bit earlier than a couple of them. But then again, they might have had them all earlier as well.
Yeah. Also, I want to ask about Enoch, because it says, you know, Enoch walked with God 300 years, and he had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Okay, well, now, that's the end of that. Now, there may be. Do you have some stuff in another reference as to exactly how God took him? Because I mean, I don't see anything there.
Yeah, when you read the Book of Enoch, he talks about that in like 15 and even earlier, like in 12, all the way. He just keeps talking about the visions that he had in heaven, mm-hmm. and what happened is he talks about in Jubilees. It talks about how he. He wrote all this book. He was mm-hmm. the first one to write this book. He put everything down. He made the calendar. Mm-hmm. He's the one that set everything apart because he was mm-hmm. really searching for these things. Similar to the way we are now. Mm-hmm. You know, we're always looking for the rapture.
Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And looking for, hey, what does this mean? What does this mean? What does this mean? Mm-hmm. And that's what God loves. He said, you know, I love it when people seek me out and they want to know all about me mm-hmm. and all this mm-hmm. Which actually, you know, that leads me off this tangent. People that they don't want to know, the gifts of the Spirit. Well, why wouldn't you? Mm-hmm. If you know, mm-hmm. Jesus said, He's going to bring you gifts. Why wouldn't you? Oh, they've ceased. Mm. You know, oh, Jesus wouldn't do that. No, he wouldn't do. Are you seeking to know who he is? And he's way, way beyond anything. Mm-hmm. You know, if what he has in store for us is above all we can ask or imagine, what about his person?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Who he is, that's got to be infinitely more than we can ever understand. Right. So why wouldn't you be seeking these things out?
Yeah.
You know, when I found out about the stars, I said, all these years I've been told I can't read the horoscope.
Right.
And then
there
I found out
it's
not about the horoscope.
Yeah, I had that same thing, you know, before we started our study, you know, and you started with the stars day one on our mm-hmm. on our Bible study, and I was like, oh goodness, are we? What? Wait, hold it, wait, just a minute here. You know, we're not getting into that, right? And
hold on there, Baba Louie.
Yeah, but you know, when it's presented correctly, then it all makes sense, and you realize that Satan is using. Using the stars for an entirely different reason, and he's trying to draw people mm-hmm. into that different reason, and the world bought it. But Christians don't understand it, I don't believe, David. And, you know, your studies mm-hmm. Bring that out, and I know you did a study back in April, back at the Watchman
yep.
conference.
Oh, that was just a scratch on the
yeah,
surface.
You know, and I had the opportunity to really to kind of preview that and then watch it also, and that's really when it comes to light. So you know, I encourage people to go to thehiddenday.com, which is David's site, and there you can get information on how to get that information and get that teaching, because it was just awesome. It really was. Go ahead, David.
Yeah, we're gonna do a deep dive on that too. You got to remember, you know, when Satan was in the garden, did he come up with something new?
Mm-mm.
No. All he did was, did God really say that?
Yeah, he just corrupted
and,
it.
Oh, you can eat that fruit. But whose
mm-hmm.
fruit was it?
Mm-hmm. Just came from
and
the
who is he libeling? Mm-hmm. It's not like he came up with anything new mm-hmm. because he can't.
Right.
He has no creative ability. Mm-hmm. All he could do is take existing things that God made and twist them.
Right.
And that's what the word wicked 100%. Means, to twist. Mm-hmm. Wicked.
100%. Like
a wicker basket.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to look at everything, and even... Like you say, astrology, they're looking at the stars. Oh, we don't want nothing to do with the stars.
Mm.
No, you need to understand how he twisted it, untwist it, and see that the stars actually tell the story of creation.
Right.
Unlike what Satan says, you know, mm-hmm. it's all about you. It's not all about you.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about him and his plan, and it's been there since he made everything.
God is not going to create something for our benefit. He's going to create something that we
to declare
his
glory.
The Lord. Right. Yeah.
And Psalm 19 says the heavens declare his glory.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right.
it, the whole line of it, the line is here's the creation. I mean, here's the astronomy line. Mm-hmm. These are the constellations mm-hmm. I told you about. And then when it go around that line, that tells of his redemption.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's where we're at. Talks about his redemption.
Amen.
So this line here that we're just looking at with this sentence, and you want to read that sentence again?
Oh, I threw my papers away, David.
Oh, you did? Okay, it says,
hold on, I can pick them up.
Man is appointed mortal sorrow, but the blessed God shall come down, teaching that his death shall bring the despairing rest.
Okay.
That is the sentence we see from Adam to Noah. Mm. Okay. So in his translation to English, we just lose all of that.
Mm-hmm.
All right. But if you say this in the Hebrew, you're going to pick that up and it's going to be there and you're going to know.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the other things that we see here is, you know, he lays out the time frame as well. So when we get into chapter 6, and it said, and it came to pass when men began to multiply in the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he is also flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. And there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bare children unto them. So we see this whole thing backing up yet again. Mm-hmm. So here's Adam to Noah. Okay, let's back up one more time. This is what happened. And this actually starts in the days of Jared, when you look elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
All right, backs up again. Okay, now this is what's happening. So he's laying out this thing. Okay, this happened. Boop, 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 boop. Now this happened. Boop, 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 boop. And then you can start to piece all these puzzles together and put all the layers together.
Okay.
And then you'll see, actually, you know, maybe next time, or one of the next times, it won't be next time, because we've got to dig into, you know, the sons of God saw the daughters of men.
Mm-hmm.
But the day that Noah landed was the same, or the day Noah came off his ark was the same day Jesus was crucified.
Mm. Yeah.
In advance.
Mm-hmm. That's crazy.
So that's wild.
Again, it's just remarkable. Yeah. It's just remarkable to me the way this, you know, all fits. It's crazy.
Yeah. So the day of his new beginning was the day of our new beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And the day of the resurrection. Mm-hmm. That's just wild. So we're going to look at that, and we're going to destroy the Sethite theory. Okay. Poor Seth. We just went through his lineage here. And people are like, oh, that means the sons of Seth, because that was the godly line. And they took the daughters of Canaan, because that was the ungodly line.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's just absurd. Okay. It doesn't say that, number one. The sons of God does not mean the sons of Seth.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we're going to look back at Cain and say, you know what? He possibly repented. Why don't we look at what he did? He was concerned. He cried out to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now he was punished for what he did.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look, God was gracious to him. So yeah, even though you've sinned, you know, it looks like he repented. So we'll examine that a little bit.
Okay.
So that couldn't be, but even so, they were still human. They came from the same parents, Adam and Eve. So how could one have, you know, the sons of God only, and the other ones, the sons of men, and then all of a sudden they have giants? Well, how did that happen?
Right. Yeah, there has to be a reason for that.
They're both still human.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we're gonna destroy the Sethite theory, because it's absurd. We're gonna talk about where it came from. You know, and why some people even believe that still today, because it's just crazy. But in the meantime, Jesus is coming back for his church. So if we don't get to the next show, I'll tell you about it in heaven, but you got to come with us. If that's the case.
Amen.
You know? Yeah, so Jesus made a contract with you. He said, hey, if you accept my contract and blood, and, you know, when we take communion, you're accepting the contract. That's what that is. I would suggest you do that, because, you know, no one's promised tomorrow. So if we don't see you in the next show, we'll see you in the air. So you guys have a blessed day. We'll talk to you on the next show. Bye-bye.
Thanks again for joining us today for The Last Christian Radio Show. And be sure to tune in every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday right here and at www.lastchristian.net until the trumpet sounds.
Looking for bold, faith-filled inspiration? tune in to The Last Christian Radio Show. Available on KRRB Revelation Radio 1700 AM in East Texas and internationally syndicated in over 160 countries on revelationradio.net, this powerful program dives into faith, hope, and salvation. Join us every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday evening at 8:30 p.m. Eastern, 7:30 p.m. Central for life-changing conversations and messages.